Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Our text tonight will be verse 26 through 29. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. In this last portion of the book of Deuteronomy, I guess you would say this is Moses' swan song. God is not going to allow Moses to enter into the promised land. He's led the people all these many years, 40 years at least. God brings them back over to the entering in of the land. And Moses is told because of his sin, because of his disobedience, he's not going to be permitted to enter into the land. But God gives him a consolation prize and tells him, I'll show you the land. I'll let you see it. That's so sobering to me, to think of a man of Moses' stature being forbidden from entering into the promised land after all those years of leading the people towards it. That shows you the significance of sin. Sin of not trusting the Lord, disobeying the Lord, the consequence of not being in the will of the Lord. Moses was denied the promised land that he so longed to see, enter into. In chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, the theme is Moses' replacement, a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua will be the one that needs to be of good courage. Joshua is the one that Moses charges with leading the people to take the land, to possess the land. In chapter 32, we find what is called the Song of Moses. Moses sings the song of praise to God in relationship to this point in Israel's history. In this 33rd chapter, we find the blessing of Moses, God pronouncing blessings upon the people of Israel, pronouncing blessings upon the various tribes. And in our text, he's pronouncing blessing upon the people as a whole because of their God. And in verse 26 through 29, he pronounces blessings upon Israel because of their great God. And he pronounces blessing upon God himself. He says in verse number 26, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun." Jeshurun is one of those odd names that God uses, I think, four times in Scripture in reference to Israel. So he blesses the people of Israel by declaring, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun." There is none like unto the God of Israel. Chapter 32, verse 15 is another place you find that use of the word Jeshurun. It means the upright one, or to be upright. There was a time when God called them the upright one, called them upright. "There is no God like the God of Israel, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky." He tells Israel that there's nobody like his God who rides upon the heaven to help them. To help them. And on the excellency of the sky on their behalf. The eternal God, speaking to Israel, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Thou shalt tread upon their high places." I've got to get ahead of myself, get out of sequence and order. And ask you tonight, who is like unto thee? Who's as blessed as you are? These people that I'm looking at as I stand up here tonight, who's like you? You're such a blessed people. God has been so good to us. "Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord?" Who's like God's people? No one. No one. So the Lord is allowing Moses to say his goodbyes, and Moses is blessing the people of Israel, and in blessing the people of Israel, he's blessing, or he's praising, exalting God. And in this passage of Scripture, we see where God is. In verse number 26, he rides upon the heavens and on the excellency of the sky. Where is God? He's above Israel. They were to see him as over them. Verse number 27, God is called Israel's refuge. So that places him all around them. See, refuge is that which you enter. It's like a building. It's like a structure. The refuge from the storm is all around you. God is all around them. Verse 27, under us are the everlasting arms. So God is under Israel. Last part of verse number 27. He shall thrust out the enemy from before them. So he's in front of them. God is above them. God is around them. God is under them. God is before them. Why is God in all these places for Israel? In verse number 26, he's there to help them. Verse 27, he's there to be a refuge. Verse 27 again, he's there to uphold them. He's underneath them with the everlasting arms. He's there to destroy Israel's enemies. I think this is prophetic as they're preparing to go into the promised land. The promised land was full of enemies. Many battles were going to have to be fought. Joshua, right out of the gate, is going to have to fight at Jericho. Fight again at Ai and fail and falter. But the promise is God is above them, around them, under them, before them, to help them, to be a refuge to them, to uphold them, to destroy their enemies. Verse 28 says, Israel shall dwell in safety, alone. God is going to thrust out their enemies, is the promise that Moses gives in his blessing here. Well, when? How long is God going to be available to be all these places, to help them in all these ways? In verse number 27, he's called the eternal God. The eternal God is thy refuge. And then later on in that 27th verse, underneath Israel are God's everlasting arms. God's everlasting arms. So God is always going to be there. Amen. He's not going to fail. Amen. To what benefit are all these things so, according to our text, regarding Israel? Verse 28, they will dwell in safety. Later in verse number 28, they will be fruitful. Notice that. 28th verse. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also, his heavens shall drop down dew. See, the promised land was always portrayed as the land of milk and honey. And the promise is, as they await going into the promised land, that the fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. The blessing of God was going to be upon the land of blessing for Israel. Verse number 29, they're said to be happy. Verse 29, later on, they're also said to be the saved. Later on in verse number 29, he is said to be a shield for them. Verse number 29, he's their sword. Now you can take all of these thoughts and applications from these verses, and you can transfer them to us. God is above us. God is around us. God is under us. God is before us. As we saw last week, last Sunday, in Romans, if God be for us, if the Omnipotent One is for us, no lesser power, more insignificant power, can be against us. So he's above us, he's around us, he's under us, he's before us. No one can do us harm. He's all of these places to help us. This is reality. This isn't some kind of pie in the sky, name it and claim it theology we're talking about. These are our promises. God is all of these places to help us, to be our refuge, to be a refuge to us, to uphold us, to destroy our enemies. And he's eternal and he's everlasting. And we have the promise of dwelling in safety, of being fruitful, being happy, being saved, being shielded, and his providing us a sword. These promises, these blessings that Moses pronounces upon the people of Israel are all applicable to us in the current time in which we live. But when we wonder where God is, when we wonder why doesn't he help, when we wonder what benefit is there to being us, is your God in that condition? We get in that condition. Where is God? Israel cried, the psalmist, several examples. Where is God? The world looks upon our troubles and they say, where's your God? When we wonder where God is, why he doesn't help us, and what benefit is there to being us, because we're leaning to our own understanding. You know that passage of scripture well in Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. The one that Moses was blessing and pronouncing blessings upon Israel for his being their Lord. We're told to trust in him with all of our heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding. Mark it down, make a note. Carve it within your mind and in your thoughts, that when you wonder where God is and why God doesn't help and what benefit is there to being us, you're leaning to your own understanding. You're going into that area that makes sense to you. And you're demonstrating a lack of faith. A lack of confidence in the God that Moses is blessing as he blesses the people of Israel. Take your hymn books. Turn to page 285. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. We have a hymn. That speaks of those everlasting arms. And nothing says it better than the words of this song when it comes to pointing out what blessings we have when we're leaning not on our own understanding, but when we're leaning on the everlasting arms. Words of this song has gone through my mind repeatedly this past week. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. What a fellowship. What a wondrous fellowship we have with the Lord. We have with God. We have with Jesus. What a joy. But it's not when we're leaning to our own understanding. It's when we're leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Not when we're leaning to our own understanding, as we're told not to in Proverbs chapter 3, but when we're leaning on those everlasting arms that are underneath us. What a blessedness is ours. What a peace is mine. Are you at peace in your soul? World is falling apart and crumbling as fast as it can. And there's nothing we can do about it. But we can trust Him. And we can know the peace that passeth understanding. When all the world is falling down around us, what a blessedness and what a peace is ours when we're leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Is life sweet? That pilgrim way is speaking of, I believe, your pilgrim journey, your time here upon earth as a child of God. Are there times when life isn't all that sweet? When it causes a bitterness to your tongue, then you're leaning to your own understanding. You're not leaning on the everlasting arms that Moses is speaking about as he blesses Israel. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, not when you're leaning on your own understanding, but when you're leaning on the everlasting arms. We began looking at the church at Thyatira. And the Lord commends them for their works. And he comes back again at the ending of that list and he mentions works again. And he points out that their latter works were greater than their first works. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Is your pilgrim journey sweet? Is the light that you're walking in growing brighter and brighter every day? Are you getting closer and closer to the Lord? Do you feel closer and closer to Jesus? Do you just feel more and more like one with the one who died on the cross for your sins? Not if you're leaning to your own understanding. Only if you're leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to dread? We were in 2 Chronicles last week in Sunday school, week before last. I preached from the same passage up at Flat Rock Saturday of that meeting. And the Lord said to Jehoshaphat, "Fear not. Say to the people of Israel, fear not, nor be dismayed. Don't be afraid, don't be confused, don't be anxious. You don't know anything about what I'm talking about if you're walking and leaning on your own understanding. These only come to those who are leaning on the everlasting arms. There's nothing to dread. There's nothing to fear to the one leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. While I'm leaning on the everlasting arms." There's twice mention of peace. What peace is mine in the first verse? I have blessed peace. Can you honestly say, as you sit here tonight, that you have blessed peace with your Lord? You have peace of the Lord. The war is over if you're saved. You're no longer at enmity. But is your life lived in such a way that you just feel the peace of the Lord washing over you? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. There's none like Israel's God. There's none like our God. He's above us. He's around us. He's under us. He's before us. To help us, to refuge us, to uphold us, to destroy our enemies. He's eternal. He's everlasting. So that we might dwell in safety, be fruitful, be happy, be saved, be shielded, have a sword for our defense. But if we wonder where God is, and why in the world doesn't He do something? I'm a Christian. What benefit is there to being a Christian? The mess my life is in and how miserable I feel. You're leaning to your own understanding. Like I said a few weeks ago, Brother Harvey's line was, you need to do three things. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent. Repent, repent, repent. If you wonder where God is and why He doesn't help and what benefit is there to being who you are as a child of God and why life is such a drudgery, you need to repent of that. Take it before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Because there's no God like you. Underneath me are the everlasting arms. And you need to ask Him to lean upon those everlasting arms and have nothing to dread, nothing to fear. There's nothing to dread, there's nothing to fear when you're leaning on the everlasting arms. Where are you tonight in regards to these things? Moses is not going into the promised land, but he can bless Israel as they will go after his death in the next chapter. And he can sing blessings and praises to God, the God of Israel, because they're all true. And all the blessings that he spoke of are ours when we're leaning on those everlasting arms. Let's stand together.